Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of November 14th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, good enough. So, D.R., as I'm sure you remember, about this time last week, a guy named Trump was elected president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And it is horrific and horrible and disappointing on so many levels.
I guess you can say the threat level has been raised to orange.
The threat level has been raised to orange. Literally, this guy is a psychologically damaged man-child who is now our mm-hmm. president. For the purposes of this show, it is particularly relevant what he wants to do about climate change, and he's holding all the cards, right? Mm-hmm. He can probably stop all federal action on clean energy. He can pull us out of international. He can try to sabotage international agreements. I mean, mm-hmm. it's pretty bad. So, well, I guess what I wanted to talk about is what pragmatic things can be done given the, shall we say, the sudden absence of leadership, the malfeasance or nonfeasance of the federal government on this topic, DR. Tell mm-hmm. me, make me smile. Tell me something good about what climate hawks can do.
Well, obviously, there can be a lot of aggressive action done at the state level. I believe Ethan Elkind, I think Dan Farber as well, of the Legal Planet website, discussed how state-level action was the template during the George W. Bush years when there was no federal action on climate, and how a lot of activists were able to shut down coal-fired power plants and basically push for renewable portfolio standards mm-hmm. and push for state-level legislation to sort of curb carbon pollution, such as the Global Warming Solutions Act in California in 2006 and in Massachusetts in 2008. And that has to be the focus in states where it is possible to accomplish the goals of climate action.
Right. At some level, action. So a couple things to just so I don't forget to say them. Action at the state level leaps from action at the local level. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to create, quote unquote, the climate of taking these activities by having, you know, the interest in the action at the local level. So mm-hmm. that's where the Massachusetts Climate Action Network comes in. We work in local cities and towns. We are dying to help anybody in Massachusetts and even beyond. So if you live mm-hmm. If you live out of state, please don't be shy. But point is, I agree with you that action to, you know, have your clean energy in your town does put pressure on the state government to take greater action, right?
In
tandem with sort of statewide initiatives.
And you have to think about, and people should always remember that, you know, the dinosaurs, to use our friend Betsy Rosenberg's term, they started at a local level. Then they move to a state level. Then they move to a federal level. If you think about a guy like Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who's an acolyte of Charles and David Koch, mm-hmm. he started off at the local level doing his thing. Then he moved to the state level. Right. You know, that's
right. Well, it's
grassroots.
It's an interesting point. It's like, you know, if you want to fight climate, run for school committee. Right. Mm-hmm. Get yourself elected someplace and start
exactly.
moving up the chain, because you go from school committee to state
exactly.
rep to state senator right on up.
The only way to get emissions to move on down is for activists to move on up.
That's right. I mean, I think the other thing which can motivate, which can be a boon to state and local action, is the sense that there is no one else but you. right? Mm-hmm. When you look in the mirror, you are the climate movement, and there's mm-hmm. nobody at the EPA who's helping you, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be good and bad, but it's also mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself. And
are you saying that I alone can reduce emissions?
Well, you I mean, no, but I mean, it's in concert. I mean, concert with other people. And knowing that it's at the local level that you can actually make something happen if nothing is happening down in the Trumpsters, Washington, D.C., you can mm-hmm. make it happen in your town. I think that's especially since it won't happen, right? I mean, the Bush administration, it was a very much us against them sort of circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. People felt somewhat beleaguered, but they also felt committed because they knew that they were the guerrilla troops, so to speak.
And if you keep in mind, back during the Bush years, even state level members of George W. Bush's political party realized that they couldn't get elected or reelected unless they took this seriously. And that's why you had governors at that time like Mitt Romney and Arnold Schwarzenegger take action to reduce emissions. And again, all it takes is people, you know, echoing that old, I think, Chicago song, Dialogue Part 1 and 2. We can make it happen, and we can save the children.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the interesting point you make that in the Dan Farber article in Legal Planet, basically pointing out that Trump's incoherence on most issues, right, leaves mm-hmm. fissures in the Republican Party that can be exploited. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys, you know, it's possible there may be some breakup just because of he's all over the lot on so many issues, and it mm-hmm. may be a way to make headway there.
And we have to keep in mind, as grim as the prospect of federal action was, keep in mind that when George W. Bush abandoned the Kyoto Protocol, his poll numbers dropped. That was a profoundly unpopular decision, and it got so bad for him that in June of 2001, he had to acknowledge that climate change was a problem. It was caused by the burning of fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. Now, we might not necessarily get to that level with Trump, but if Trump takes actions that are unpopular and his poll numbers start to tumble, then that will expose for all his tough talk. If he tries to do things that aren't terribly popular, he can only ignore popular will for so long before
it seems, you know, from news reports that he's very aware of his polling numbers. So yeah, I mean, that's I guess the other way that it, you know, that things can happen in the new climate, so to speak, in Washington, D.C. is through the courts. I mean, mm-hmm. One of the big things in under Bush was that the Massachusetts versus EPA mm-hmm. ruling, which basically said the EPA had a responsibility, just an affirmative, they had a positive duty to regulate carbon dioxide. And mm-hmm. I think that even if Trump tries to kill the Clean Power Plan, you could make a case, someone like the Conservation Law Foundation could make a case saying that he has responsibility to do something. And until mm-hmm. until they repeal the entire Clean Air Act, I mean, that's a responsibility that he has. You can sue him over it, right?
The only concern, of course, is the prospect of the Supreme Court issuing such a ruling, upholding it, and then President Trump ignoring it. Because if you remember, with Massachusetts versus EPA, the George W. Bush administration didn't exactly go out of its way to sort of you know, take action with all deliberate speed to implement that ruling. That fell to the Obama administration. Remember that famous story about how I believe it was then EPA Director Stephen Johnson sending George W. Bush an email saying he had to comply with that ruling in Mass versus EPA, and Bush wouldn't even open the email. I guess he thought it was spam.
Well, I guess one other thing that I saw that I was quite intrigued by is the idea that subnational players, that is to say, the state of Massachusetts or the state of California, mm-hmm. could enter into international collaboration with other people that are doing climate work, or mm-hmm. even within the United States, that the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, the REGI cap and trade system here in Massachusetts, should somehow link up with the California and the Western states cap mm-hmm. and trade system and make that grow. I mean, mm-hmm. those are things that don't require any federal, in fact, can happen without the federal government.
And this
whole idea that there's this group, what's it called?
Under 2 Coalition, I believe.
Right, which is basically nonprofit groups in cities and towns and around the world joining with each other to make carbon commitments that don't necessarily reflect what their national authorities are thinking. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a way forward, right?
Yes, I mean, people are not going to sort of sit back and allow, you know, emissions to rise and hope to fall, so to speak. They are going to take action. You know, and you have to think about how, you know, again, going back to the George W. Bush administration, how there was, especially right around the time that and even before An Inconvenient Truth came out, there was that sort of rising and growing and building movement to take action on this. And it finally resulted in at least, you know, a changing of the guard in Congress. And even though we can talk all day about what happened with the Waxman-Markey bill, at least it was introduced. At least right. It made it through right. The House. Yeah. I mean, again, it's, you can only ignore political will for so long. For all the money in the world and all the, you know, media hype for, you know, all the advertising from the American Petroleum Institute, you can only ignore political will for so long. And even though there are a lot of people who may not care about future generations, there are also a lot of people who do, and they vote. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they can get the popular vote. And if they turn out, especially in upcoming elections, they can make their voices heard and their presence felt.
Absolutely. Well, right. You're back to, if you're not registered to vote and this past mm-hmm. election hasn't convinced you to register to vote, well, I hope it has. Please go register mm-hmm. to vote. I mean, there was one other comment that I saw that talked about so let's ratchet up to the international agreement level, where we're talking about the Paris Accord. And, of course, all the poor people in Marrakesh are trying to implement the Paris Accord mm-hmm. with all of a sudden the United States apparently preparing to disappear. But mm-hmm. the question is, if China, and this is something to watch, if China decides that it is in its own best interest to continue cutting carbon emissions, which they seem mm-hmm. to be on, then they become the world leader, mm-hmm. right? They get all the green energy industry, right?
Yes.
And quite honestly, they save the world. Fine.
They get international props.
But I mean, if I think you said this last week, if in 10,000 years it turns out that the Chinese were the ones who saved the world, good on them. I'd rather mm-hmm. have them save the world than lose the world because the United States, you know, wasn't the one making the wind turbines, right?
And speaking of these UN climate talks and Secretary of State John Kerry's leadership role in them, you know, you may be familiar with the rumor that Newt Gingrich, the former House Speaker, may become Secretary of State in a Trump administration. You do wonder if he attends one of these upcoming climate conferences by the UN in 2017 or 2018, if any of the attendees will remind him of that time in 2007 yeah. where he had a debate with Kerry, where he agreed with Kerry on the risk of climate change. And of course, if they'll remind him of that 2008 advertisement he did with Nancy Pelosi, which he later disavowed, where he says that he recognizes climate change as a problem. It might get a little hot for him.
A little hot, right? Yeah, I think that the I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens at the international level. I mean, I hope and pray. I mean, I guess you have to hope at this point that mm-hmm. China takes on world leadership. I mean, that's a detriment to the United States because when mm-hmm. we will become a minor player. But mm-hmm. that's what Trump wants. That's what people want. I mean, they can't see the future. Mm-hmm. God, I don't know. So there's lots of local, there are lots of things that can be done at the local action. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are, affiliated with an MCAN chapter, or you know people, you're working on some topic, you don't have to be affiliated with anything, but if you're working on bringing clean energy or a climate-related improvement to your community, good on you. Right. Mm-hmm. Stay with it. MCAN wants to help. But on the other hand, if you're new to the game, if you don't know what to do, if you're feeling that you want to somehow make contact, again, there are, you know, the MCAN website is a place to volunteer and to try to begin to make those initial connections to find out. You don't have to commit anything. You just, I mean, you'd be shocked at how much you can get done when you take it on. But mm-hmm. I mean, for people who are new to the business, it's an easy path in, right? Just to start mm-hmm. thinking of yourself as a climate hawk, right? All of a sudden, that changes your view of the world.
And I'll go back to something I noted last year, which is that, you know, the People's Climate March from 2014, it never really stopped. And now I would submit to you, on the heels of this election, more people are marching than ever.
More people
are putting their sneakers on, putting their shoes on, and they're lacing up their boots, and they're ready to go. They're to use an old Barack Obama saying, they're fired up and they're ready to go.
Well, right. I think that the calamitous election of Mr. Trump is no doubt for climate hawks. It is a tough circumstance. But we, as climate activists, we're in the game. We're not going anywhere. Last week, in the last show, we talked about resolve, resilience, and resistance. I mean, mm-hmm. we are, you know, no one's going to make us go away. Donald Trump can huff and puff and try and blow our house down, but he's just a pig. He's not even a wolf, right? Mm-hmm. We're here, so don't get depressed. Mm-hmm. We'll put up links to this at the blog. You can find us on Stitcher. We'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it is our patriotic duty, especially in these difficult times, our patriotic mm-hmm. duty to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon, maintain world leadership in fighting global warming and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Thanks, DR, for being here.
No problem. Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon, real soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.